Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Phase Zero, Season 4. What number episode is this?
Good. I think 14.
Woo! Episode 14. Welcome to the show. BD here, joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody. Big, big show today. Very excited.
Big old chonky show. We got some news. We got a break. We got to talk about. We're going to have old jail cell on the show at some point. He's big time now. We got Aaron Perrine on the show.
God, this is a massive one. What's going on, everybody?
Big old show. Big Jamie Durack.
Good morning.
Top of the morning to you. So thank you, everybody, who joined us for X-Men Days of Future Past's review on Monday. That was our Road to Deadpool and Wolverine movie of the week that we were revisiting, getting ready for Deadpool and Wolverine. On Monday, it'll be Deadpool 1. So go ahead and watch the first Deadpool movie and be ready to review and discuss and have fun on the Road to Deadpool and Wolverine with Phase Zero. This coming Monday, the show goes on. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of Spider-Man like stuff and things. Nothing too crazy, but it's a lot of people talking about Spider-Man and a lot of people involved with Spider-Man movies talking about other things. So that's a thing. We got Thunderbolt stuff. We got Kristen Stewart yapping about the MCU. We got Finn Jones. Like, wait, what's he doing? What's he not doing? We'll see. And then, of course, we have X-Men 97 Episode 4 drop today. So we're going to talk about that, review it, talk maybe a deep dive, as you know we like to do in Phase 3 of Phase 0. But let's get started today. And at some point today, Jim Viscardi is going to crash the party. I'm getting the alerts now that he's trying to break out of jail. So our guards are on it, but we are trying to contain him and get it under control. So sooner or later, old birthday boy Viscardi will be here. Let's start with Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi was at WonderCon yapping his yap this weekend. And he was asked about Spider-Man 4, and he was asked about Avengers Secret Wars. So during a WonderCon panel, this is via Screen Geek, he was asked about Avengers Secret Wars, and he said, quote, "I love 90% of the Marvel heroes that I've read in the great Stan Lee Marvel Universe comic books. I would love to work with Marvel again. They haven't reasonably asked me to. I hope they had a good experience with me. They haven't asked me yet. I hope they do." So I don't think Sam Raimi's directing Secret Wars. I also don't want Sam Raimi to direct Secret Wars. That's my stance. And I say that now. I recognize maybe he goes in there, knocks it out of the park, and I eat crow, and I'm like, hey, you crushed it. You're the best person for the job. Not my style of director for a movie like Avengers Secret Wars. I know Jamie probably disagrees with me.
I'm just curious, first of all, who are the 10% of Marvel characters he doesn't like? I'm very curious by that statement, because I feel like that could encompass so many characters. But I know we've had this debate before on the show about whether or not he should direct it. I could see it happening, and I could see it really working. I think he's one of the names that the internet has put on Secret Wars because we know so little about the movie. But yeah, Jamie, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, yeah. If he was the director of Secret Wars, I'd be like, cool, heck yeah. But it's not necessarily, he's not necessarily who I'm rooting for to be the director of Secret Wars, but I wouldn't be mad about it because I love him and most of his, let's say 90% of his movies, I think we're good.
I'm so curious, what's Jamie's 10%? Well, I mean, I saw somebody say this on Twitter, but it's like Sam Raimi did Multiverse of Madness without watching WandaVision. Mm-hmm. I don't want Secret Wars without watching everything that came before. Or at least really, really caringly carrying all of the storylines that came before it. Because Multiverse of Madness did not take care of WandaVision.
I don't even think that was solely his problem, though. We've heard ad nauseum about the production schedule and about how Michael Waldron wrote the script in relation to WandaVision and everything. So I don't think that's solely a Sam Raimi thing. And I would hope whatever script is being written for Secret Wars right now takes into account everything that's going to come before it. But I don't know, like, that won't be the first or probably last time that that would happen in the MCU.
That said, I don't think they told him, hey, don't watch WandaVision.
Yeah.
Aaron, what are you thinking?
I am open to it, of course. I mean, the funny thing is that in all of this weird discourse around these movies, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness made a lot of money. They made a lot of money. A lot of money. So, and also, the one thing about Raimi is there's like a real imprint. There's like a thumbprint on all the movies. You know, you watch Multiverse of Madness, and it's funny because you know the guy that directed Evil Dead and Army of Darkness directed this movie. You can tell. There's a lot of weird, funny stuff to the point where Feige's like, go ahead and have your corny, weird zombie thing, Sam Raimi. Yes, put the car in it. God darn it. So I think that'll be interesting to see. It doesn't really... Yeah, I know. Delightful. I revisited it. I'm even fonder of it now. I don't know. I want to see what whatever director puts forward. There's no way of knowing. So,
I mean, I love the Russos. I know everybody's tired of the Russos. Not me. They did such a good job that they feel safe enough that I think Secret Wars, they could deliver another one, and I'd eat that cake up. All right. Sam Raimi was still yapping his yap, this time to my buddy Kevin Palloy, who is now at CBR, formerly of Yahoo. He asked him about Spider-Man 4 rumors, and Sam Raimi said, well, I haven't heard about that yet. I did read that, but I'm not actually working on it yet. I mean, Marvel and Columbia are so successful with current Spider-Man movies, and the track there, I remember reading this, that the captions were messed up. The trajectory there was what he actually said. And I don't know that they're going to go back to me and say, well, folks, we can also tell that story. For the life of me, I can't figure out why that is Sony's stance. We got multiple Batmans being successful, varying levels of success, but success nonetheless, multiple Jokers. You know, I think that there is no reason to think that if you go make a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie, that Tom Holland Spider-Man is instantly going to be less successful. I think maybe we would see a little bit of that oversaturation in the market, which I am very much one of the people who complain about it. I'm not saying stack them on top of each other, but if Sam Raimi wanted, if Sony wanted to make a Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, I think it would be a massive success. And I still think Spider-Man 4 with Tom Holland, which I think you guys talked about last week, getting Justin Lin, possibly, would also be a massive success. So I don't know.
I think it's funny, like, Thomas Hayden Church doesn't know anything. We need to stop listening to Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah. Love that man. Sideways fan forever. But, like, it's so funny. Like, he's just like, sure, yeah, that's happening. He doesn't know. That's not happening. My thing about Tobey Spider-Man 4 is that, like, on one hand, heck yeah, that'd be great. On the other hand, I am kind of feeling my way out of this nostalgic reboot era of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And because we are crossing into this new, like, era of more original stuff and new stuff, and I like that, but I'm also the biggest sucker for nostalgia, so I'm like, well, we can have both. And especially, I keep saying this, but now that X-Men 97 exists, I'm on my upswing of revivals, because we can see how good they can be. So but I just think it's funny, like, Thomas Hayden Church is just going around spreading lies.
That was exactly what I was going to mention, too, of just the Thomas Hayden Church of it all. And it is funny just how many people tied to this franchise are just hearing it through the grapevine on the internet and then using that as the basis of the quotes that they're saying. It seems like nobody really knows anything. And I don't disagree with BD. I do think there's a way that you could do multiple Spider-Men at the same time. We already technically have two Spider-Man stories going on, just one's in animation, one's in live action. So it could work. It would kind of be an interesting experience to kind of, like, resell the Tobey movies to the general public. But I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. They're re-releasing the movies in theaters, which I'm sure is also partially an experiment to see how much money they make. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's just really funny because I keep harping on these things need scripts. They need directors. Like, that's the thing. You have your director, and you are James open Gunn to doing it, but there's no story yet. So when everybody kept saying, you know, I feel like it's going to happen, I'm like, Well, I'd hope that there would be some sort of story other than them just sitting in an apartment building, which I would be enthralled by, because it's older Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst just being like, hey, what's up? You know, that sounds great. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll get to nostalgia talk later. And also, I do have one quibble, Jamie, with like all the original stories. Godzilla's old as crap. Dune's old as crap. These things are not like new. There's just a novelty to them because there hasn't been 14 of them on screen before. And
oh, I wasn't even thinking about that because I didn't like that movie. So that didn't even come into my brain. But that's different too, though, because it's just big monsters. It's not like the same. It's not. Rebecca Hall hasn't been in there since the 1950s. You know what I'm saying?
Like, there should be. She should have been. Why don't we get all the time travel technology to get her there? Go darn it. I don't know. Me and Spencer did a long thing about Godzilla on Friday where we just started laughing because I'm like, it's very funny for all these Johnny Come Lately people talking about, oh, look, a serious Godzilla movie. And I'm like, you wasn't there. Go watch some on Pluto right now. Yep. It's all there for you. Go watch All Out Monsters Attack and come talk to me again. Yes. You know? But yeah, it's I don't know. Anything is possible. I think Brandon Davis's point about Sony being allergic to money has some legs. I think that's possibly true. Like, the people on Instagram seem to agree with BD's take. Strong take, but you know, there's only so much money.
Well, that goes perfectly into our next story, which, talking about Sony potentially leaving money on the table, there's concept art from Madam Web that surfaced online this morning that shows Tom Holland's Spider-Man fighting Ezekiel Sims. I think we have it to pull up here. Yeah, so people have a lot of feelings about this, knowing that this was even potentially conceived for the movie. How do y'all feel about it?
What is the logic? Was he bored? Is this a baby? I don't understand the logic.
I almost think it's like a Terminator situation or like a time travel thing, or I don't know.
Nonsense. Okay.
But I don't even think the people making this understand. I for the life of me just don't understand the Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man. I mean, it would have made a little bit of sense if this movie actually was like a web that connected literally anything. It didn't even connect its own story, so no further whatever, Your Honor.
In the comics, Ezekiel is hunting down spider individuals, spider totems, and murdering them, not just those three girls. So at some point in the script, it could conceivably have. I kept feeling like I'm like, there's some sort of portal thing that was here and it was excised, either because Spider-Man No Way Home made all the money on God's green earth, or the fact that they couldn't get Tom, or that maybe when they were writing it, they didn't realize that 2003 is a long time ago and Tom Holland's not that old. Whichever one happened, you know, I don't know. But I kept feeling like there's something weird that went in this movie that got excised out either in the writing, editing, or whatever. And God bless SJ Clarkson for just being a meat shield for obvious nonsense that went on behind the scenes. So when people get mad at Chris Stuckman and other people for being like, the machine of this is what's to blame, not the individual directors and creators, there you go.
This is the same studio that got somebody to say Kraven the Hunter was a conservationist. El Muerto's about to be a pop star, bro. I mean, who knows? I don't get it.
The chat, multiple people in the chat are saying that there should be a Spider-Gwen movie. First of all, I completely agree, and I've been on this train like she was first introduced. But second of all, Sony, like, that's almost too good of an idea. Like, they would have done it by now if they realized that they you could have done it. There's something that's standing in the way of them actually
Something's in the way. It's every choice they make. Something. Well, Madam Web of what wasn't.
It's just funny. Oh, we have a surprise, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Oh, there he is.
Oh, hey.
Oh, boy.
The man of the Jim Viscardi.
Oh,
welcome.
Hey.
We broke free.
I can't stay very long.
Wee-woo,
but I love all of you. And I will forever be a listener, but also I will send Brandon I will text him constantly when I think all of his opinions are terrible, which will be every week. At 11 o'clock Central.
Jim, here's the thing. Nobody on Phase Zero knows what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jim Viscardi has broken out of his jail cell.
Sorry.
Permanently.
Yes.
Permanently. This is my last jail, this has shut down.
Cat already saying they're going to 10 sync and skip on me?
They've been saying that all day.
Unbelievable. All right.
Well, we only have about 10 seconds of big time Jim over here, so we got to get to the point.
Unbelievable.
Real quick, this is the big news that we were talking about on Phase Zero. If you've read The Hollywood Reporter today, you may have seen it. Jim Viscardi, 10 second Jim, jail cell Jim, is no longer part of comicbook.com because he is now. Jim, you want to
I'm heading over to Image Comics to go do some fun stuff over there. Help creators get some projects up and off the ground. Do some fun things in the land of comics, and I'm excited for it. But also, it's incredibly bittersweet because, you know, I love everyone. I love everyone at Comic Book. I love the community that is built around Comic Book. Right, like the all of the Phase Zero bits. That we've been able to amass over the years, forever. Jail cell Jim, 10 second skip Jim, red shirt guy, I think was the first one.
Wow.
When we first started our very first episode. I'm gonna miss you guys, and it's been a blast, and thank you. I've said this a million times, this doesn't happen without every single person on this stream and every single person in the audience, you know what I mean? And so So thank you guys.
Well, this doesn't happen without you first. I wouldn't be working at Comic Book if not for you and Joe, who is also not at Comic Book anymore. I'm like one of the last dinosaurs at Comic Book. So we love you, Jim. Also, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. What a day to have this be announced and you know, all that.
Yeah.
I hope, you know, upgrading from being friends with, you know, the likes of me, Jamie, Aaron and Jenna into hanging out with Todd McFarlane, Robert Kirkman, and Rob Liefeld all the time treats you well. I'm not jealous at all. I'm not a jealous ex, whatever. But no, we're happy for you, Jim. We love you.
Appreciate it.
And that's the news. Jim is moving onward and upward, and all the best back in your damn cell.
I love y'all. I'll be in the chat forever and always.
Yeah, we love you too.
Yelling at you. See you guys.
Congrats.
All right, Jim. Well, there it is. R.I.P. Jail cell Jim.
When I told Tony about the news, he goes, "That's perfect for Jim because you can't 10 second skip a comic."
if you go to now when you look at Image Comics and there's like an entire page that's blank, just know Jim didn't check that page. He never even they just published it. All right, that did set us back a bit. We gotta move a little quickly here now.
Okay.
Spider Within.
So if you've been on the internet for the last week, the Spider Within Spider-Verse story premiered on YouTube for free last week. It's a Sony Pictures Animation collaboration with the Kevin Love Fund. Talk about mental health with students. It's about 7 minutes. Absolutely free. More Spider-Verse for your eyeballs that you do not have to pay for. So that's great. Has everybody seen it?
Yes.
I know.
I haven't watched it yet.
7 whole minutes is so much to ask of all of us in this TikTok generation.
I was going to say that's like 50 TikToks.
50 TikToks.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how we're measuring it.
The Spider-Verse saga. So, real quick, what is this about?
Miles Morales dealing with the stress of both being a superhero and the expectations foisted upon him starts having weird visions of spiders. Following him around, like to manifest as his anxiety, and then he has a emotional conversation with his father where he feels like he can open up about his problems and it makes him a better Spider-Man. Look at that. Man, oh man, Jamie, this is so much easier than a whole 2-hour movie. Dear God.
And you do it so calmly where you're not screaming into the microphone.
Oh, listen, I spent all my screaming on other things that we'll get to in the show later today. But yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. More Miles. Beautiful animation, of course, from Sony Pictures Animation. Jarell, the director, did a good job. But yeah.
One thing we can scream about is the fact that Beyond the Spider-Verse was supposed to open in theaters last Friday. Plot twist, it didn't.
Rip.
And we still don't know when it's coming.
The tweets saying like Beyond the Spider-Verse and Mickey 17 should have both opened last weekend, and like, oh, which one would have made more money at the box office, just made me so sad. I know we're getting both movies eventually, but like, it's kind of crazy.
Are we getting Mickey 17? I don't know. Question mark.
Supposedly it comes out next January. So, and okay, that is keeping me invested. So I need
Robert Pattinson is busy being a father. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out, you know, in a sweatsuit. He could actually wear it with pride now.
All right, we got one more spider bit.
Okay. The final spider news. Kirsten Dunst was talked to GQ, and first she said that the famous upside down kiss in Spider-Man was miserable to film, which I feel like we knew that. They've talked about how awful that was for the last 20 years. And when asked about if she was ever asked to return for Spider-Man No Way Home, she said, no, I would have. But great. I also interviewed Kirsten Dunst this week. Keep an eye out for that interview coming on the 8th. But we didn't talk about Spider-Man, because how many times can the one woman say, I would return if asked? So many times you can say it.
Are you allowed to say how Civil War was yet?
I think I'm allowed to say that I really liked it, and I saw it twice, but I'm not allowed to talk about the interviews yet, but I can say that I liked it.
I want to see Civil War so bad.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, yeah, so Kirsten Dunst reiterating, she's down to play. I appreciated the other interview she did where she was pretty candid, where she was like, dude, it's money. Like, I would do it because I get paid. So I get that. I think, you know, there's a good chance we see that universe in Secret Wars, if not in Spider-Man 4. I hope, anyway. And I hope we don't know about it until it happens. I hope it's a well-kept secret. We just go into the movie and then we get there.
We would be so lucky.
Oh, yeah. Remember when things like that used to happen? All right, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. We come back, we're talking about Thunderbolts, Kristen Stewart, Finn Jones, and The Punisher. Subscribe to the channel.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to Phase Zero. We are in phase two of our show, and we have quite the video to talk about. This was almost a post-credit scene to our show last week, and it is so wild. I kept waiting for this to be taken off of social media, and it never was. Florence Pugh posted a video from the set of Thunderbolts, showing a lot more than we normally get when any of these movies are in production. Obviously, she was playing kind of coy with what she's showing, but Marvel Studios even reposted it on their social media, so obviously it was a thing that was kind of planned. I think we have it queued up to play, potentially. I know Jamie has so many feelings about this video, which I agree with. So how do you feel about it?
I first of all, I was like, I can't believe this exists. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, she's not telling us or showing us anything other than her outfit. And mm-hmm. it's kind of brilliant because all it is the internet and the human beings of the world love Florence Pugh. And all you need to do is get Florence Pugh talking into a camera, and that is going to hype people up for your movie. And they should do stuff like this all the time, because it is something where, like, there's no leaking. There's nothing. We know nothing about this movie more than we did before this video dropped, except now we're like, Florence Pugh! And I think that, like, that's amazing. Do this every time.
People were trying to glean, like, so much from this video. They were looking at, like, the tube that she's standing behind and were like, oh my god, is this where Sentry's gonna be stored or whatever? It just looks like it's an elevator. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll find out when the movie comes out. And then even people were looking at the back of the director's chairs and were like, did the movie change the logo again? I have thoughts about this. But it's like,
yes,
that could just be maybe, but that could also just be a temporary logo that they're doing during production. Like, we won't know until this movie wraps filming and actually starts having a marketing campaign.
The logo that you're referencing, Thunderbolts with a little asterisk on the end.
Yeah.
When Marvel Studios tweeted this video, they wrote Thunderbolts with the asterisk in the tweet. So I don't know if that's like the title or if that's like, we are going to change the title later. So here's an asterisk. So I find that to be really interesting. I don't know what else they'd call it though.
Why would you change it? It's such a good title. It's like crisp, clean title.
I know people originally when this movie was announced were like Dark Avengers maybe, or some sort of other like actual Avengers branding, because it is kind of hard to sell the concept of Thunderbolts to the general population, especially if they don't really get the significance of the name. So I could maybe see that. I do think the asterisk is really funny and maybe there is something to it, but I don't know.
I would be happy and a little bit irked if they change this to a Dark Avengers title. Simply because we've been saying we need an Avengers movie, and they would expect, like, here's your damn Avengers movie, shut up. And I'd be like, but this wasn't actually supposed to be.
That is a good title, though. Like, that'll get people. Dark Avengers, people will go see that movie for sure.
I mean, I'm going either way.
But, of course, we are. We're obligated to.
I have to. It's the toughest job in the world, but I have to.
Gosh.
I woke up this morning and I said, listen, I gotta go watch X-Men. The animated, the X-Men 97, I have to, I don't have a choice, and I have to talk about it. It's a tough job, but we do it. We get through.
You suffer for your craft.
I really wish we were more disciplined so that they could literally just have everybody come into the theater, see it when the title drops, and then see Dark Avengers, and then Florence Pugh literally right on the lens, Thunderbolts asterisk.
Yeah.
And all of us lose our minds, but we don't deserve good things. We haven't proven that we can actually handle that, so we're not going to get that. I would settle for it in the trailer now. That would be good, because then you could... I'm sorry, Brandon. I do want people to shut up. I do. That's fine with me. Just listen. Here's your dark... Come get your juice.
What if they call it... What if they call it Thunderbolts, the Dark Avengers?
You have to put I would put it first.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that feels
Dark
like a very
Avengers
long...
Thunderbolts? No, that doesn't work.
I'll put it first. It doesn't have to make sense.
Some people in the chat were saying, like, Avengers : Thunderbolts, so, like, maybe that? I don't know. That's why, like, Dark Avengers was the first thing that comes to my mind, because that way you could separate it from the actual Avengers team that supposedly exists, even though we've never seen them in this phase, hardly. But, yeah, I also wouldn't be surprised if, like, to Aaron's point, there's maybe a bit in the trailer that is, like, them trying to argue over what to name themselves, and then that leads to Thunderbolts with the asterisk. I have no idea.
Sure. 100%
happening.
Phase 5 tie-up project?
Huh?
Is this still the final Phase 5 title?
It's supposed to be? Question mark?
It was announced as a movie that wraps up Phase 5.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still last. Isn't Blade after it now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think
so.
FF
Phases
was supposed to be
shit
Phase 6. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
That warrants our one swear word per show. Phases don't mean a damn thing anymore. Only Phase 0 is the only phase you need. All right, let's talk about. I believe there's some love for this next actress here.
Oh, show. So Kristen Stewart was asked if she would ever do a Marvel movie on the Skinny and Not Fat podcast, and she said,
"What a name for a podcast, by the way."
You would have to put so much money and so much trust into one person, and it doesn't happen. And so, therefore, what ends up happening is an algorithmic weird experience where you can't feel personal at all about it. So likely not. But maybe the world changes. If that's what I'm saying, how could I tell you no? And maybe one day, if Greta Gerwig asked me to do a Marvel movie, then I would do it. I like that, like, clearly she was, like, she was giving Greta Gerwig as an example, and then the headline's like, Kristen Stewart would only make a Marvel movie if it was Greta Gerwig. I'm sure if like another very revered director would want her to do it. I don't blame her though. This woman made 5 Twilight movies. Like she knows what being in a franchise is like, and now she's like doing all this stuff. She's an Oscar nominated person, and she knows like what being in a franchise does to you as an actor, as like the celebrity status, like money, of course you get paid, but she was, I think that like her time in Twilight was traumatic because she grew up with like the, like this just insanity of fandom. But that's not what she's talking about. She's just talking about, you know, other stuff. But I do think that, I'm not surprised she'd be hesitant.
I know, because like she also had another part of like the longer quote where she was like, it just seems like it would be such a miserable experience, which like I don't fault her for having that outlook either, because I also feel like the Charlie's Angels reboot that she was in a couple of years ago probably was like constructed very similar to how superhero movies were at the time. It was trying to be like a big franchise in that way, and I know she and a lot of other people involved have kind of spoken out about the experience after the fact. So yeah, I agree with you, Jamie. I don't blame her at all. It would be fun to see her in some sort of like Elseworlds alternate universe sort of thing that she could just play around in, and it wouldn't be this big action-packed thing, but I don't blame her.
I thank you to All in the Game for reminding me of the Huntsman movie franchise. Thanks for reminding me of that. I haven't thought about that in a long time. It's 18 hairstyles ago now. With the stuff with her, not, I kind of get that. You just watch Dakota just get dunked on constantly for 2 months on the internet, and who wants that for stuff that's outside of your control, you know?
Dakota didn't do anything to help herself, though.
Well, she didn't, but I don't think it would matter when you're getting weird Fox News profiles and stuff written about you about magazine covers and stuff. That's not going to do anything. No. She looks the way she looks and presents the way she presents, so people are going to be like, you know, ready and willing, you know, warm their arms to punch at the punching bag. I just, you know, some people don't want to be in these things. That's absolutely fine. Please keep making the movie you just made.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah.
That's what I need you to do. That. And more magazine covers, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right, let's keep it moving here so we can have plenty of time to talk about X-Men. Finn Jones. Y'all know Finn Jones is?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you might know Finn Jones. First of all, cool name. Second of all, Finn Jones posted on his Instagram story, maybe a little teasy tease. Power Man and Iron Fist, the final issue in a bag that he had packed. Now, I have no idea if this is true, but I saw somebody on Twitter was just like, he got that as a gift at a Comic-Con.
Oh.
And I was like, well, I don't know. If it's on Twitter, it has to be true, right? It's like, so... I don't know. I don't. It's interesting. If this came at literally any other time besides the timing of our next topic, I would say it's just him having fun with it. It's just him, you know, reminding people he played Iron Fist. Probably, yes, making that money at Comic-Cons. I mean, Stephen Amell is signing autographs at every convention around the country. So, like, I get it. If you play a role, go cash in. Meet your fans. It's a business, and I get that. And, you know, some people probably do also genuinely love meeting their fans. But it did happen at a time when our next topic is our next topic. So pardon me, my little conspiracy theorist, if you were to take me back to season one of Phase Zero, I'd be betting my house that he's coming back. So I got some doubt, but I'm like, maybe. So let's just cut to the next topic then.
I will say with the Finn Jones thing, it's one thing to potentially receive that as a gift. It's another thing to like pose that in your Instagram stories and take a very intentional picture. Because even we were talking about it in the work Slack, and like there's a new Neverending Story movie in the works. And that is one of like the book he also has in that photo. So it's like, is he teasing two projects at the same time? Is he just campaigning to be in those two projects? Like, who knows?
I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be on a flight to Philadelphia tomorrow morning, and you can bet your bottom dollar that I'm going to post a photo of my feet on the plane with my little WWE bag, and I'm going to let people think, oh, what's he doing? I'm not freaking wrestling at WrestleMania, but I'm going to let them think it just for fun. Just have a little fun.
That's the key, because I think that he's posting it because he knows the internet's going to have a reaction, and he's like, remember me? I know you've got some other people in your little circle. I want to be in your little circle. The internet wants me there. That's what I think's happening.
I think so, too. I get it. Fake it till you make it. In a sense. I mean, he made it, but like also he's trying to make it back. So fake it till you make it back. So yeah, this next topic is the thing that makes me think maybe there is like a possibility it could happen. Set photos. Daredevil Born Again. If you don't want to see these, go ahead, close it out. If you don't want to hear about it, skip ahead 5 minutes if you're listening in podcast form. But these set photos, they're going to be everywhere. This is casting news that we've known about for a long time. It's very cool to see, and I assume this is going to be a trailer. We debated before the show, and I'll take the blame. I said, let's just show it. I think people want to see this, and I think they're going to.
It looks like we don't have them queued up, so we can at least talk about them for the moment.
Okay, yeah. We don't have them. Yeah. Never mind. But there are photos of Charlie Cox and John Bernthal together on set of Daredevil Born Again as Daredevil and Punisher. I think they're awesome. I looked at all of them, or not all of them. I don't know, but I looked at a lot of them. First, John Bernthal was spotted taking a photo with a fan kind of dressed up as Punisher. And then now there's photos of them together, full on costumes. They look sick. To me, this is thrilling. I cannot wait to see them together again under the direction of Marvel Studios.
The way that I first saw these photos was I saw one of the photos being memed, and it was just like overlaid with a graphic saying like me and my friend on the way to go talk to girls or whatever. And it was like that I had to have the moment of like, oh, that's a funny meme. And then I was like, that's not Photoshop. That's a real picture of the two of them together. They look great. I've already retweeted various comic people kind of talking about the inspiration for Frank's costume because it seems to be combining a lot of different elements. I'm excited. I think it seems they look like they're having a lot of fun.
I didn't look at the pictures because I don't care because I want to like give me some kind of surprise. Also, I just they didn't cross my path. If we had shown them here, I wouldn't be mad because we've known forever that he's going to be in that show.
Right.
It's not a secret. It's not like that wasn't a leak. That's people know. That's a fact. So
shout out to the fact that they're going to have costumes before the finale.
Yeah.
That look really cool.
As far as we know.
Yeah, right. So monkey's paw in effect. Could you imagine? Oh, man. Me skipping in here on episode 6 of Daredevil Born Again when they get their costumes is going to be hilarious. And it'll still be 6 even though it's not the end.
Yeah.
This isn't my most anticipated thing. I'm happy for people. There are other details about this that make me raise my eyebrows. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Good. But, you know, happy for the Daredevil fans. The 8 million Punisher fans that, you know, exist. Your time is coming. It's just very funny that people are like, hey, you know, why are you guys saying that Finn Jones might come back? You know, this he could just be posting stuff. And I'm just like, guys. Exactly. Everything. Krista Ritter posted a t-shirt. That happening. John Bernthal being here in the full suit. If we see Mike out there, if he posts anything, you should expect it. You should just expect it. He's the only one that hasn't done anything yet. And I'm just thinking that's because he might just not use, he lives a more ascended life than most of us and doesn't use social media as much. Maybe that's it. I don't know. So, you know, here it comes.
Mike Coulter.
I still would love if he just went. Yeah, I was about to say, if Mike Coulter just went and like grabbed a coffee somewhere near the set, just randomly.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Fuel speculation, but just be completely just on his casual life. Like, I would love that. That would
now, hold great. On. If that man is near the set, that's a... Hold on.
But, like, that's not even they're filming outside. So my point was just, like, yeah, he just goes and grabs, like, Starbucks.
He grabbed a blue coffee cup, and the internet explodes.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Jamie, thank you.
Aaron, do you have a spicy nugget this week?
I mean, other than the idea of, okay... So I was going to ask, what about Mike Coulter? Does anybody believe that the last piece of this puzzle is going to come out of nowhere? Does anybody believe that?
What's funny that Mike Coulter is the one who is like the most forward in shutting down a possible return when he talks about it.
He sure is.
Yeah.
You know, when he did those interviews right beside Gerard Butler, he said like, no, I'm not coming back. Like, I don't think I'm coming back. He's the only one who really talks that way, too. Kristen Ritter, Finn Jones, Charlie Cox, John Bernthal, they always seem to have hope, and Mike Coulter doesn't seem to have hope. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's being a South Carolina Gamecocks fan for life. You learn to live without hope. So I get it.
Yo,
right? I feel you on that. I feel you. So maybe he's been trained for that. Shout out Coulter. All right, we're going to take one more break. Then Phase 3 comes back. We're going to talk about X-Men 97 Episode 4. So join us for a breakdown and review out of 10 for Episode 4. Kind of a dual episode. Let's talk about that. See you in a moment. Subscribe to the channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Phase Zero. This is X-Men 97, Episode 4, Discussion Time, Phase 3 of the show. This episode was really cool. This kind of really took me back to watching animated shows, many years ago because of the sort of dual story nature of it, where you would have had a commercial break and come back to an entirely different episode, basically. The first half is all about Jubilee. The second half is all about Storm and Forge. And I thought that was really cool. Hold on, wait, Jamie. Do you possibly have 1 minute to, real quick, hit us with what happened?
Jubilee turned 18, and she wants to go to the arcade, and Magneto's like, I'm a Magneto, I don't go to an arcade, and she's like, boo! And so she's like, she gets this game, and she's like, what's this? Motendo! My boy Mojo's back, everybody! And she gets stuck in the game, and it's like a 90s video game. Yes, it's so cool, it's so fun. And then it ends with a little kiss! We love it! Boom! Over! And then we got Storm and Forge, and he's helping her feel and come into her own and trying to find her powers, but she doesn't find her powers, but she rides a horse, and we'll see what happens. It's really sad. She's crying. She can't do it. And I don't know. Those are the episodes.
I feel like I could see the whole thing's playing in fast forward was that was happening.
Yeah. That's how Jim watches the episodes.
Yeah.
That's true. So real quick reactions. Aaron, what'd you think?
I would imagine the biggest Jubilee fan on the panel. Very, very, very thankful for the episode, both for that, the weird X-Men 90s arcade cabinet shouts are very, very funny. If you let that arcade game eat all your quarters as a younger person, which it did, dear God, it's so hard to get through. Now when you get it home on like a 1-up or like on emulation or wherever, it's like, man, this is way easier when I don't have to pay it 25 cents per freaking time me dying happens. So that's awesome. I really liked what this episode had to say about nostalgia too. It's kind of awesome that they managed to include that in this particular show that's so reliant on it. And then the Storm stuff, my wife's gonna be super pleased, thank God, because people were really upset Storm lost her powers. So
it looks like we'll be getting some res. And also, I mean, the visual style of this show is so wide because we're just leaning into like 8-bit, like, you know, kind of chiptune inspired art in the first half, and then just gorgeous, wild, painterly romance cover stuff in the second half. So enjoyed it a lot.
Jenna, what'd you think?
I loved both parts of this episode. We knew the episode titles ahead of time, but I never read the first part as Motendo. I thought it was going to be like the name of some city or some sort of like whatever. And so as soon, I even saw Jamie's tweet about how the character she most wanted to come back came back in this episode, and that it didn't even click with me. And then as soon as they said it out loud, I was like, oh my God, we're getting Mojo. I was very weirded out by the very skinny Mojo. I'm glad we got back to the more comic accurate version. But yeah, I agree with Aaron. My favorite Barcade has the X-Men side scroller, and so I was just the Leo pointing meme that entire time, recognizing everything that they did, and I love how they did that. And then the life death stuff, I think it, like, it's so beautiful, it's so well done. It really honored the idea of kind of that storyline in the comics. I was so worried they weren't going to do the twist of Forge having invented the thing that depowered Storm, but I'm glad that we got that, and now I'm very curious to see the resolution of it.
Yeah, I thought that twist was great. I thought the dynamic that set up between Storm and Forge was really interesting, and also the guilt that Forge seems to be carrying. I really enjoyed, like, my favorite parts of the X-Men stuff is the ensemble stuff, the relationships, the dynamics between everybody. It's like that first scene in the beginning where Morph is kind of in on knowing that Gambit is down bad for a Rogue while Magneto wants to go to the Danger Room. Bro, I bet you want to go to the Danger Room. What y'all doing in there? Prepare for Mr. Sinister or what else, big dog? Getting a Jubilee episode was really cool. I just thought this was a really good episode. I really liked that it was split into two episodes. I like the more full cast episodes for sure, but I think that spending time with Jubilee and spending time with Storm was great. So it's nice to kind of take a break from the fast pace and bring Mojo back. Man, Mojo, I see the comment Mojo on that Ozempic. Mojo, I think Mojo's weight reflecting the fact that he basically feeds off the ratings. Like, so when the ratings were down, he was this slim thing, but then when he had this successful video game show, he became the Mojo we know as the TV producer, big old blobby boy from the animated series. I loved that. Jamie, what'd you think?
Love Mojo. I was also really upset when he was skinny, and I was so glad it didn't end. It ended that way. I was like, I was offended, but he came back, and he is my boy. I was so excited when I saw, because the opening credits, he was in the opening credits, so I was like, oh, he's coming. And if you guys aren't paying attention, the opening credits are changing every week, which is really cool. It's weird because the original series, while they always had parts, they have never had one episode split into two like the Rugrats formula. So I was really surprised by that. It didn't bother me by any means, but I was like, oh, they've never done that before. So that was interesting. I enjoyed it all so much. And I also, like, I love seeing Jubilee get to grow up, because there gets to a point in the original series where it's like, girl, stop yelling and saying you want to be a part of the team. She's just such a teenager, and I'm it's nice to see her grow, like, get be allowed to grow.
Yeah. Seeing her be like, oh, I can do that. Like, seeing her powers basically from when she was, I thought that was great. Like, her sort of video game older self using the powers to slice through all the robot limbs and stuff. It's like, man, that's cool. And also just the message it sends about growing up, and you have to be a little bit more fearless and embrace change as you grow up. I thought that was just good, you know, messaging for Jubilee.
Also, the older Jubilee was voiced by her original voice actress, who is Allison Court, because she didn't return for the revival because she kind of recognized as a white woman, she probably shouldn't be playing this character in the present day. But it was nice to kind of have that, like, passing of the torch moment between the two of them. And the costume was just super cool. Yeah.
That's really cool. There also is just tons of references to the animated series. We saw Genosha, and that was in the Slave Island episode of the original series. We saw the Savage Lands, which was in multiple episodes of the original animated series. So this is one of those episodes that if you watched X-Men the Animated Series, you're being rewarded for it. But at the same time, if you haven't and you just started with 97, it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm not picking up. Maybe this is something Jubilee experienced in the episodes I know I didn't watch, but also, like, enough is in this episode to understand it fully. Yeah. Magneto being the boss in the game, very much out of the game. That's from the X-Men game. The level of meta in this episode was really, really clever, yeah. I thought, with the game stuff. I also think it's really impressive how between this episode, and I wasn't on last week's episode to talk about it, this show isn't afraid to get a little scary.
Uh-huh.
Last week had that thing crawling out of the TV and all the Mr. Sinister stuff. And this week had the video game crawling into their eyes and stuff, like the metal wires. Like we just saw watched X-Men Days of Future Past. Like what Michael Fassbender just did to the Sentinels on the train with the train tracks. That just happened to Roberto and Jubilee and when they were sitting on that bed. And also, there was nods.
I also did feel like the bird monster that is like attacking Storm.
Oh, absolutely.
Life, death. That, like, we talked about like the Ghibli influences of all of the nightmare stuff last week, but like that also felt like very much like a Ghibli kind of creation. And that was just really cool.
There was also the Matrix reference, obviously, where they went to the phone booth to get out of it. In the Matrix movies, you answer the phone and it pulls you out of the Matrix. And also Mojo saying, if you die in the game, you die in real life. That's like the stakes of the Matrix as well. So I thought that was all really clever. The Storm one, I don't have as much to say about the Storm because it feels a little bit more straightforward. There wasn't as much meta. There wasn't as much Easter eggs. It's just a good thing because I was furious when Storm lost her powers. I think that it's great to see Storm wrestling with this. I think her character is already tremendously interesting. So seeing her have to wrestle with sort of not being a mutant, just being a regular human, a muggle like the rest of us, I think it's great. But then the Forge story I thought was a great twist when she found out and he kind of revealed the guilt. He sort of tries to not carry but does carry and wants to fix it to get her powers back, and she's going to get her powers back. We kind of expected that anyway, but I think it's good stuff. This episode was really good.
I was kind of laughing. Oh, before that, I was kind of laughing when they got to kind of Forge's house in the mountains with all of these cliffs and stuff, because initially they met in Dallas, Texas, and like Forge lives in Dallas, Texas in the comics. And I was like, there is nowhere. I grew up there. There is nowhere that looks like that in that area at all. And so when he's like, yeah, when we met in Dallas, it's like, okay, y'all drove like an hour or so out of the way to get to that location.
You could also, in like earlier in their conversation when she first has the chili, you can see the owl in the rafters of the cabin in the background very, very subtly. And I was like, is that supposed to be there? Was that owl always there? And then the next time you flash back and it's not there, I was like, oh God, that's nothing not right about that owl. Can't trust a bird. Birds aren't real. I was going to say, BD, we did celebrate this with Jamie. Jamie, you ain't noticed something that happened even in the trailer?
I didn't.
Oh, yes.
I did not notice that.
I was going to bring this up, yes. So for the audio listeners, explain that.
Okay, yeah. There's like a Days of Future Past reference. Wow, it's coming up a lot this week. You should go listen to the Phase Zero's episode about it.
X-Men First Class, which I've seen.
Which Brenda has seen. Yeah. So the poster has a bunch of the X-Men with like the like weird like X'd out faces or like stripes across them. And then there's Wanda and Quicksilver like right in the middle, like between where Jubilee and Roberto are standing. And I was like, yeah, man, she gonna be in here. Mama's coming back. This mama's coming back. Goodness. So yeah, it was just kind of, I'm like, man, they find so many ways to shove so much in these episodes, just so much. Also, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan or a Naruto fan, the final attack that they use on Mojo with the discs, I was like, somebody watches a lot of anime. I can respect it. How long was Forge in love with her? I mean, have you seen Storm? Right, exactly. BD, that figure, it's so crazy. Oh my gosh.
Shout out to Sideshow. Sideshow puts out. Listen, I know Sideshow stuff is expensive. Fortunately, I love Sideshow and I work with them. But damn, there's this, the Storm stuff that's all the. I still haven't had a chance to unbox this Gambit thing. There's some cool X-Men stuff. Got to shout them out for sure. I love them and their artists. I think they're the best. All right, so anything else we want to talk about in the deep dive? I think it's time for a 10 score. I'll go first. I always make everybody else go first. And then I'm like, I second guess my number. I try to stick to it, but then I'm like, I am going to give this episode. It didn't feel quite as eventful as the first three episodes, which isn't really a problem. You can just have fun with an animated series. And that's exactly what I did. So for that reason, I really liked this episode. I liked a lot of like the things we just talked about. I'm giving this one an 8.1 out of 10. That's my score. I'm going to write it down. Let's put it in the calculator. Aaron, what you got?
I love Ghibli. It's a 9. The Doomer in the chat saying Cowboy Monroe. It's funny because Jenna said that ain't Texas. It ain't.
All right, we got an 8.1 and a 9. What do we got from Jamie Jurak?
You could argue, yeah, it's the weakest one, but in like a good way, in a way that it's, this is TV where it, you know, and it, that's cool. It feels like TV. So I'm going to give it an
8.9.
It's all arbitrary. This scale is so stupid.
I think it's a great scale and you used it perfectly. I'm so impressed. Jenna?
I'm also going to give it a 9. I think that, right. I agree. It's not as strong as, like, universally last week, we were all like 10 out of 10. I don't think this episode's quite there, but it is so much fun and there's so much going on that I definitely a 9.
All right. That brings us to the phase zero score of an 8.75. We're rounding up to an 8.8 out of 10, which feels pretty fair. This was a good episode. 8.8 out of 10 for X-Men 97, episode 4. We'll get Peter to make the graphic and we'll share it on social media so everybody can argue about it. And that is our Phase Zero show of the day. Jenna, any last words for this fine April 3rd episode of Phase Zero?
It's at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn on social media. As always, go read some comics. Go read the life-death arc if you really liked that part of the episode. And if you like the Jubilee part of the episode, go read the Exterminator series that Marvel published a couple years ago because it is utterly delightful. It is the energy of that episode on steroids. And yeah, go send your well wishes to Jim.
Aaron Perrine.
It's at Summer Lake Hornet. If you want some more talking about The Spider Within, we got something coming for you this week. So keep an eye on our social channels for that. And yes, we're going to miss Jail Cell. Every time I hit forward on Disney Plus, Jim, I will think about you.
You do that?
Occasionally now. He's like, wow, what are you doing? Like, especially getting ready for this show today.
Did you just become 10 second Aaron?
10 second Aaron. The evil version of me with a goatee.
Oh, that would be so strange. I don't know if I'm ready for all that.
Right.
Jamie Jurak.
Oh, at Jamie Jurak on Letterboxd. I'm about to log my 190th movie of the year. Wow. So
of the year?
Yeah, of 2024. Yeah.
I haven't even sent that many tweets.
And go on comicbook.com and check out my interview with Vera Drew about the People's Joker. I was really, really proud of that one. I got to chat with her for 30 minutes. And as I said last week, she's been my friend for 15 years. And so I've never interviewed someone that I'm really good friends with. And that was a really fun thing to get to do.
Awesome. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us on Phase Zero and being the awesome Phase Zero community we love so much. Big thanks to Jim Viscardi for his help along the way. We will carry the comic book torch as he goes over to Image Comics to be in jail over there. We'll run into him at Comic-Con and stuff, I'm sure. Yeah. If you're in Philadelphia over the weekend, hit me up. Love to say hi if you're in town. And if you're at CinemaCon for some reason, I don't know why anybody would be. But if you're in Vegas the following week, hit me up. Let's say hi. Let's be friends. Phase Zero, that's our show. Subscribe to our channel. We will be doing Deadpool 1's review and rewatch episode on Monday for our Road to Deadpool and Wolverine. It's rolling on. So that is Monday's movie. And play our show for your mom, play it for your dog, and leave a 5-star review. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend and stay tuned to comicbook.com for more updates. Bye.